In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is Isaiah chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, and Revelation chapter 5. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is always shifting things into reverse. He's the backwards moving God. He takes the things that the way that they are, and he makes them the way that they should be by transforming them into what was. He is the second Adam, come to make you like the first man, the first Adam, only better. He creates the heavenly Jerusalem for you, a Jerusalem that is like the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, only better. His is the sacrifice to end all sacrifices, like the Passover lamb, only better. So Isaiah preaches from his prophetic pulpit, for his spirit-filled eyes sees a mountain high and lifted up, so high and lifted up it makes Mount Everest like a mere pipsqueak. Every other mountain, every other hill must salute its elevation. Rivers of the nations stream upward to this heaven-scraping peak. Yes, rivers in reverse. The swords that are crafted to plow open flesh are now hammered into plowshares that open the earth for its seed, for food, and for life. Warriors become farmers, spears into pruning hooks. Everything is running in reverse. He regenesises the world. Nothing stays the same. For the Creator has come in the flesh to make all things new and all things new for you. So it is in Advent. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes. He advents to make all things dead alive again. And the world to which he comes stands in dire need of his arrival. It is, in fact, dead on his arrival. An ugly place it is, for we are an ugly race of humanity. Oh, sure, we've tried to put makeup over it, but such vanity is truly in vain. The face of the world is filled with graves. Dust you are, to dust shall you return. The curse of Adam permeates us. Sin permeates us. The wages of sin is death. We cannot perfume away the stench of death that wafts through the air. When you were born, you took your first tottering step toward the edge of your own grave. Most hours of most days, we live in a delusional world of make-believe. We pretend this isn't so. We pretend to act from pure motives. And pure they are, purely selfish and self-serving, or at best a mixture of good, bad, and worse. We pretend honesty, but in truth, we twist our stories, exaggerate our innocence, and impute false motives to others. We even begin to believe our own lies, as we repeat them so often. Our ears grin at the gossip whispered in them. Our adulterous hearts have a triple X rating. Why, we make it easy on the devil. No demonic student in his class ever falls below an A plus in the course of temptation. All sin and all fall short of the glory of God, and that includes you. That includes me. It does no good to deny this, but rather you shall confess it. And say what is true about yourself, as scary as it is. That does good. It does the good of repentance, the good of living up to the death within us, and finding in another's death, Jesus' death, everlasting life. Because it is for you, the dead, that Jesus lived his life. Advent is his present to you, wrapped in the living colors of his skin, his flesh, his bones, his blood. He comes running to those who cannot even begin to crawl to him. He comes to you, and he puts everything bad about you in reverse. From guilt to forgiveness, from lies to truth, from death and shame to life in his name. He's a backwards God, and he is ready, he is willing, he is able to take you back to a place that you have never been before. The place of perfection, the place of innocence. In fact, he's already accomplished it. It is finished. It's a done deal. A deal done for you. Isaiah prophesied, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of our Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. This is God's place. This is the place where God is found, this peak of peaks. It is the mountain called Zion, the city of our living God. It is the mountain named the church. For when the Creator is lifted up to hang, bleeding and dying between heaven and earth, there he lifted up this one, holy, Christian, and apostolic mountain. Jesus bore the weight of your sins upon the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for you, that in him you would become the righteousness of God. A new, a better Zion was formed from the raw materials of his flesh and blood. A new Eve out of the side of the second Adam was born. By his living, by his bleeding, by his rising, by his ascending, he crafted the high hill where death and sin are no more. Of this Zion, you are a citizen. On this mountain, you live. It is your home. Adam and Eve were booted out of paradise with a cherubim to guard the way to the tree of life with a flaming sword. They were cut off. They were separated from God's presence. But now that dividing wall of hostility has been broken down. That curtain has been torn in two from top to bottom. You have been pulled in by a new Adam, a second Adam, back to the Eden that has now become your Zion. Eden, Zion, Zion, Eden. They're all one in Christ Jesus. Here he is, and there you are. Near Zion of old was a temple where God dwelt in the midst of his children. But on this new Zion, there's no temple of wood or stone, but a temple of skin, of blood, of bones, of hands, of feet. For the Word became flesh and dwelt templed, tabernacled among us. Our temple is not a building, but rather the babe of Bethlehem, the flesh of Jesus Christ our Lord, who said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. And the temple that he was referring to was his body. Into that temple you have entered, washed therein by the waters of holy baptism, the flood that washes away all your sins. All the nations flow up to this mountain, says Isaiah, for they are carried there by the river of salvation. Through the door of the font, you flowed into the flesh of Jesus. And in that body of the Son of God, you are cleansed. Here is not make-believe, but reality. Here is not ugliness, but beauty. All the hideousness of your sin vanishes. You are lovely, perfect, holy, and radiant in the eyes of your heavenly Father, because Jesus, the sacrificial lamb's blood, covers you from all your sin. Gone are the lies, And here is the truth. The truth that God's heart is fixed on you. He wants you. You are the apple of His eye. Until the last trumpet sounds, men with blood in their eyes will haunt this world. Bombs will explode, bullets will penetrate, swords will slash. Peace will remain the unobtainable ideal. But there is peace in this world, but not of this world. The peace of Zion. There is reconciliation between God and man. There is a peace that surpasses all understanding because it stands under the banner of the crucifix. Within the flesh of God's Son, the conflict ceases. God's fiery wrath is doused with the holy blood of Jesus. God is one with man. Jew is one with Gentile. All are unified together in Christ, for all are forgiven their sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God has shifted everything into reverse. Paradise is regained. We who live in the lowlands of darkness and the dunghills of death ascend to the mountain to walk in the light of the Lord. Our sin traded for righteousness. Our guilt replaced by peace of heart. Our mortality is swallowed up by immortality. For all of this, Jesus came. All of this He did because He wanted you. And now that He has you, now that He has marked you with His cross in the waters of holy baptism, now that He has claimed you as His own dear beloved child, forgiven all your sins and righteous in His sight, now that you have been baptized into Christ, He will never, ever let you go. Welcome to the mountain called Zion, the church of the firstborn from the dead. Welcome home. Welcome to the beginning of paradise. Welcome back to Eden, to the presence of our God. Welcome to church. Here, the presence of God that was lost in the fall is reversed. It is restored. Here, Christ meets you in His word, in His baptism, in His absolution, in His body and blood. Veiled in these things, Christ comes to you here and now today. Here, you are restored to Him, and He to you. Here, there is light, not darkness. Life, not death. Forgiveness, not everlasting condemnation. And just think, this is only the beginning. There is for us a yet more glorious day. The day spoken of in Revelation chapter 5. The day of the resurrection. The day when darkness, sin, guilt, mortality, and death are forever reversed, forever undone. A day where your eyes shall behold the slain and victorious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. A day where you shall forever dwell with God in His unveiled presence, just like the first Adam in the Garden of Eden who walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. No mourning, no sorrow, no fighting, no war, no sin, no death. All of this guaranteed by the second Adam, Jesus Christ our Lord, who will come to your grave and open your grave and call you forth to life with Him in the new Eden, saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." In essence, welcome home forever. Welcome back to Eden, to my presence, to the presence of God. Welcome to paradise. O house of Jacob, People of the living God, saints of Holy Cross and Emmanuel, come, let us walk in the life, the light, the salvation, in the presence of our God, both here on earth, in the Church of Mount Eden, and finally there, in eternity, in the eternally restored Eden of our God. Come, let us sing praises to the Lamb who was slain but lives victoriously for us and for our salvation. Let us proclaim the excellencies of Christ who has called us out of darkness, sin and death, into the marvelous light of salvation. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth, wisdom and might, honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor, glory and might, forever and ever. Amen.